you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 164 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. Today, I have a couple of folks with me, Gabriella Cubero and Darren Fancher, both of whom are with a company called CasePeer.com, or CasePeer is the company. The website's CasePeer.com. And the product is called CasePeer. So I saw this at the ABA Tech Show in Chicago. It is essentially a case management tool specializing in support of those who do personal injury work. And as a reformed personal injury litigator, I was naturally drawn to the demonstration of this product, and it literally blew me away. So I don't do personal injury or do much of it anymore, but if you do, let me tell you, CasePeer, in my humble opinion, is a game-changing development. It does all the things that a personal injury attorney, a personal injury law firm need to have managed, does it all under one umbrella, and it looks beautiful. You know, I don't have any stake in the company. I wish I did. I don't get anything for hawking this product, but I honestly and truly believe that it is an absolute game changer in the personal injury space. So without any more yakking on my part, why don't we talk to the experts, Gabriella Cubero and Darren Fancher, here to talk about CasePeer. Gabriella Cubero and Darren Fancher, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited.
Well, I'm delighted to speak to you folks from the, as I refer to it, the left coast, being located here outside of Washington, D.C. Let's start with you, Gabriella, and then we'll go to Darren. Gabriella, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Thank you. So my background was actually in legal marketing. And I kind of fell into that on accident, as one does. And certainly 10 years ago, before there really, legal marketing was just kind of starting at that point. And from that role, I was working with one main firm, but a couple other firms as well, and really saw the need for something that was more powerful, especially when it came to tracking the things I was interested in tracking. But of course, I was friendly with all the case managers and paralegals and attorneys. And, you know, I understood the ins and outs of PI cases because I was, you know, appealing to those as leads, and really saw a need for a software that made it easier to track all the moving parts, and that made made it possible to do so at a scale too. Because a lot of these PI shops, you have people that aren't attorneys managing things, and so I kind of fell into it a little bit, I'll say, accidentally, and met the right partners along the way, and it's been a beautiful experience so far.
Great. And Darren, how about yourself? How did you come to be here today?
Well, I'm an attorney. I went to law school in the Bay Area in the 90s. So it made a lot of sense back then to have waded from sort of being a transactional attorney into a legal tech startup that was SoftBank Finance back in the day. All of the startups kind of got wiped out in 2000, 2001, I kind of shifted focus over to finance. Worked in finance for years and years, and came back to legal tech after having met this team here at CasePeer and saw an opportunity, and we worked together on building out a product that we could take to market.
Well, fabulous. Now, we have had a number of case management platforms featured on The Law Entrepreneur, but I was lucky enough at the ABA Tech Show this past spring, or I guess late winter, early spring, was able to meet your marketing director, Lindsay Cassell, and she gave me a little introduction to CasePeer, which is what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, I put down in my notes that this was the game-changing case management tool for personal injury attorneys. Is that a fair characterization, or am I overstating it?
I mean, it's a really flattering characterization. I think we're all pretty modest around here, so Jared and I are both blushing. But
it's true. We're
but I will say it's certainly an honor to be considered that by someone like you, because what really makes us different from other softwares out there, and there's great case management tools out there for attorneys, whether, you know, solo, small practitioners, and even large firms, what really makes us different is that we're made for personal injury.
Yeah.
That means that if you're tracking insurance information, adjusters, health insurance, medical treatment, and, you know, you're not invoicing attorneys for your hourly work like, you know, a family law attorney might, this is really the tool for you, because it's got all the reports, all the management screens, all the automation tools that you could need built into this case management software that's really made for your business in mind.
And, you know, and as a reformed with, you know, tongue in cheek, personal injury attorney, because that's what I cut my teeth. When I got out of law school, that's what I started doing, was personal injury work. And when I talk to personal injury attorneys around the area and now on the show around the country and the world, and we talk about case management software, you know, the unique aspect that dominates the personal injury space, that being that most often it's done on a contingency basis, means that the whole paradigm is slightly different for a personal injury attorney than, say, a family law attorney or trust and estates or name it, whatever practice area you have. So that's what really kind of intrigued me about CasePeer, because I would get, you know, the feedback from people that say, well, the things that are really important to me as a personal injury attorney, the standard case management tools don't really help me with. Mm-hmm. And so when I was able to see CasePeer, I wrote down 6 areas that I think really make a difference and really make your product stand out. And I'm going to touch on a few of those and invite you to share with me others that you think I'm overlooking.
But, we appreciate it, sure.
But just following, if I can do it this way, just following a personal injury case from start to finish. I mean, the first thing that we address is intake. And, mm-hmm. you know, in my old firm, we had somebody whose their only job was to answer the phone and to do the intake.
Absolutely.
And it was on, you know, a yellow legal pad. And so tell me a little bit how CasePeer addresses intake and what that means to incorporate that into a personal injury specific case management tool.
Well, I think there are a few things that we think about in intake. It's really having a process for it, whether you're a small or large firm or even a solo picking up the phone yourself. It's having some place to go and immediately start collecting information relevant to the case so you can quickly come to the conclusion whether or not you want to accept it. You know, we certainly provide that, and it's, you know, it is a very repetitive process as well. So we found that our sort of out-of-the-box solution is something that, you know, the solo or the small or mid-sized firm is very capable of picking up and running with kind of right out of the box. Of course, there's ways to customize it as well, something more interesting for, you know, as the firms get bigger. But yeah, the important part is that process up front for the small guys to get going on.
And the other thing that I think piggybacks off of that, if I may, is sort of what comes before the intake is how did that lead come into the firm? So, I mean, that's something that a lot of CRMs have sort of put in. Sometimes they overlook that component. So you'll see a lot of people that have additional kind of intake tracking tools, which we've got a couple users that use those for some more robust things as well, by all means. But for, I mean, I think our average sort of small firm, solo, you know, sort of that five and under, I mean, KSphere has everything that you could possibly need in terms of tracking every lead, right? That's a big part. And I'm sure this is something that you talk to your audience about often is, look, like, know if you're investing in your business, you're spending marketing dollars, know how that money is actually being, you know, multiplied at your firm. Which if you're only capturing the cases that actually become clients in your CRM, then you may not have that perspective to know how to reinvest your marketing dollars or how to make the most of your budget.
Well, so I'm going to share with you that I think it's that the thing that sets your product apart is a little more, even more narrow than that, but more useful to me because, you know, frankly, a lot of tools, they do lead tracking and that kind of thing, some better than others. But what I would always find as a personal injury lawyer is that my CRM didn't give me a place to record the date of the incident. Or didn't give me a place to record the address where the incident took place. Now I could capture the client's information, but I couldn't capture information about the details that brought that client to me. And unless I had it in like a big note section. And what I really liked about the intake opportunity in KSphere is that all the standard types of questions that a personal injury attorney would ask a potential client about, including, you know, who referred you and the contact information for you, but all the other things specific to the accident, to the injuries, to the location, were all in the intake. And I thought, okay, well, that's right there. You've already saved me time, money, and effort.
We appreciate your comments about it. It's funny, we take it for granted that those data points should be included up front. And of course, we train our users to go ahead and do that. And we have seen some of the other products, they don't include very important things such as that, you know, the statute date, you know, the date of incident that kicks everything off. The most important thing of all is that stat is the, you know,
particularly on the back end of that of that period, when you need to know when your window of opportunity for that matter is closing under the statute of limitations, because, you know, we've all seen those, you know, horror stories where people aren't tracking that date and it comes back to haunt them.
I mean, we see so many people, and I'm sure this will resonate with at least a couple of your listeners. I see this a lot. I see a lot of people tracking those statute dates in an Excel sheet, and maybe it's been an assistant that's also calculating that date. I know because we do data imports, and sometimes we see those statute dates, and I'm like, that statute date is wrong. You know, I mean, I'm not an attorney, but I know that statute date is inaccurate, and that's scary, right? So the way that KSphere approaches that too is, not only do we have a place to capture this information, and certainly law firms can enter in their custom statute dates, but if you haven't entered in a custom statute, we're going to auto-calculate it based on that date of loss, based on the client's age at the time of the accident, wherever, whatever state that accident occurred, accident type, defendant type. We're taking all of that into account to suggest a date, and then we add all the reminders necessary to automate those reminders to make sure that that nothing slips through the cracks.
And that's what I think is game changing about this product, that kind of attention to the details of how you run a personal injury case. The other thing is being able to record the injuries, the injury pain on your intake process. I went, wow. I stood back and said, all right, because I don't have to then kind of, how do I say that? I know it's a leg, some kind of bone in the leg, you know, you've got the whole checklist there, and I just go through it and mark down what the injuries are. And it makes it really simple to capture all that data in one pass.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And one of the things too that I think is interesting about it, and is certainly something that's informed a lot of things that we've done in Case Beer, is that it makes also training so easy. Yeah. Let's say, I mean, something that happens a lot at smaller firms, I mean, if you've got a firm, whether it's big or large, you're training people, but at small firms, especially if you have a key person leave in intake, it's probably the owner, the attorney that's like getting now on that call and having every single one of those conversations. And so, and when you're hiring a new person, instead of saying, you know, for now, just work your way down the checklist. And does your leg hurt? Does your head hurt? Does your neck hurt? Because for anyone that's been doing PI for a long time, you know, there's two kinds of clients, right? You have that client that says everything hurts, and you know, they'll go into a lot of details. But you know, in many cases, you have clients that are, oh, you're right, actually, I am feeling tingling in my hand. I didn't even think about that because my neck hurts. Oh, you know, and if you don't ask that question, you're not going to get that information.
I had a client one time on intake. We get all the way done and we're wrapping things up and we're scheduling them to come in for do the initial consultation. She goes, did I forget to mention that I broke my ankle? Well, yes, oh, she did.
Yeah.
So, no, you know, so I think your attention to detail on the intake portion of this process is really important. And you know, if you're a personal injury attorney, you look at this, you can say, wow, I'm going to save a lot of time, money, and effort right then and there. But the next problem that confronts most of us as PI attorneys is, you know, keeping track of the medical providers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at one point in my process, I spent so much time doing that I decided I'm shifting that responsibility to the client.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Interesting.
Yeah, idea, yeah.
You go get me all the names and information and list who you saw. But in Case Peer, I see where you record all that information. You can share medical providers across cases. So if you're working in a geographical area, you only have to enter Dr. Smith's office information one time for one case. He's going to be there available for you to note on additional cases that you're working on.
Exactly.
Those histories are really valuable as you go back and sort of negotiate those liens. Knowing what you've done in the past definitely going to help you kind of position yourself for that next round of negotiations. It's been a really powerful tool for our users.
Yeah, and the other cool thing about that too is not only, of course, does it save on data entry, which is really important, but the neat thing about that too, again, when you have someone coming in that maybe isn't the office manager that has been running the ship for 10 years, they can come in there and look up pain management doctor in DC or in, you know, here around the corner from us, you know, Irvine. And they're going to see all the contacts that are good fits for that based on your existing contact database. And to my knowledge, there's not really anyone that's doing it like that because they're just not handling their contacts in the same way that we do. That's really come at it from the perspective of PI first.
Today, I'd like to introduce a new sponsor to The Law Entrepreneur, and that's the folks at Jurisdiction. You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150. That's like the Law Entrepreneur 150 for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the Mac CRM and case management tool I've been using for years to run my practice. If you want to take your practice further, you need to try Daylight. Daylight keeps track of every case detail and reminds you when you need to follow up so you can focus on what matters most. To be honest with you, I can't imagine running my practice without Daylight. So say hello to a stress-free workflow and visit marketcircle.com to try Daylight now. Remember to mention that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount off your first monthly subscription. Yeah, and one of the things I used to have to do by hand or manually was also check for conflicts. If I wanted to go get a expert witness, I had to say, "Well, do I remember using that doctor in a case before?" Or if, conversely, if I have to depose a doctor, didn't I have him as a provider in one of my cases? And so, yes, you can capture that information in a CRM and you can do those conflict checks in a CRM, but you're actually kind of fitting a bit of a square peg into a round hole. Not so here with your product.
Yeah, it is a really beautiful thing. I hear that from trial attorneys a lot, especially for those defense witnesses. Because again, and for your audience, the way it works is just like we've said with doctors. I mean, you just pull up an expert witness right in the case. You can look up their history, see all the different cases they've been on, whether they were a plaintiff or a defense witness. And so you could very easily go quickly look at those three cases and see, oh, well, what came up in depositions? And you know, all of a sudden that changes your strategy this time around. So it is a really powerful tool.
And then the thing that goes hand in hand with that, that is probably the major pain in every, you know, personal injury attorney's, let's say, back, is keeping track of all the medical records.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, and I thought I was cutting edge when I would get them and scan them in, and I would use, you know, a tool to bait stamp them when the time came. But talk to me a little bit about just the enormous capability that exists in Case Peer for handling and managing medical records in a PI case.
So as you said, this is one of the biggest pain points for law firms. And I mean, and if you were doing that 10 years ago, I will say that what you're describing is certainly ahead of your time. Even though it's the fact that you were scanning anything, it's way more common now, which is nice to hear and nice to see. But the way that we handle medical records in Case Peer is that, first of all, we make it really easy to track when you've requested it. Not only do we help automate that with templates and letter generation, of course, those requests based on whether it's a billing request or a records request, we know there's different addresses associated with that. Yep. So, you know, you're not limited in that capacity, but certainly then being able to tag your requested dates, eventually sort by those on a report. So when you're doing follow-ups, your team can just sort on a report by a facility name and lo and behold, call that hospital, follow up on six different cases at once instead of one at a time. I mean, that's a big game changer. And then of course, indicating when those have been received. So first of all, if you ever need a re-request because the client goes back to the doctor, you know when you received it. But most of the time, it's also just primarily indicating that you have all the records in and you're ready to demand the case so that you don't have cases kind of sitting there because you did get that record, but it's in the folder and nobody told anybody that it came in. And that happens all the time. And that's a loss for the client, a loss for the firm in terms of productivity.
Yeah. When I looked at it, I mean, in my day, what I did was I kept track of the providers for each case in, you know, a simple spreadsheet and like most other people did. And when I requests went out and when the records came back and when the bills came back, and I color coded it to make it easy to see. But you know what? I could only see that for one case.
Yeah.
And it was a separate, data repository than my case management tool.
Yeah, extra work for you to put that together. And I mean, again, that's actually you were ahead of your time.
Yeah, you did a good job on that.
Yeah, but in Case Peer, it is connected to the matter in in the tool.
Yeah. And that's a really important point. I mean, even in when I see, and again, you know, when I see other softwares, when we're transitioning clients and things like that, there's other tools out there that maybe over time have built out some things, but there's like a place for records and then a place for treatment. And I mean, these things should all be in the same place. You know, you shouldn't have to look in eight different places to add providers because that's not efficient. And
the efficiency pickup is a big deal to us. I mean, our goal is to keep everything in one place and, and really allow people to run their practice off of Casefear.
Exactly.
Now, one thing you kind of, you brushed over, it made my ears perk up. I didn't notice this before. Did I hear you understand you correctly to say that you can generate the records requests right from inside the tool?
So with Casefear, I was alluding to sort of template generation.
Sure.
And our template generation is a little bit smarter, especially when it comes to doctors, in the sense that we have three different addresses for each health provider contact. So we know that there's an office address, that's where the client's going, but their billing could be out of state and their records is in a different facility. And so we help kind of juggle all of that. So let's say you want to generate a records request versus a billing request, it will pull in the right address and populate it with however much billing costs or records costs, you know, so it's keeping all of that straight and making those requests really easy instead of, you know, I think there's a lot of firms that might be listening that probably are, they actually have three different contacts tracking that billing address, that records address, but instead of keeping it on one.
But you're telling me you can generate it from within the tool?
Yes, the actual letter itself. Yeah. So in terms of the actual request being generated, and being sent. So we're working on integrations with a couple partners right now. The first one that's going to be out soon is actually with a company called Chart Squad. Mm-hmm. And so they're the provider that, in some cases, if you want to outsource that, which I know a lot of small firms like to, they can actually then handle and process the requesting itself, which is also a great tool. And we're excited to make that easier for people to use some of these outside services.
And you give the user a choice. They can either generate their own requests using the data that's driven from the tool that they're using, or they can use that data and provide it to a third party who can make those requests on their behalf.
Absolutely. And you know, with you sort of saying that we give our users a choice, and Darren, I'm sure, would echo this, that's really important to us with integrations in general. We really want people to be able to use what they want. And of course, look, if I could deliver every integration tomorrow, I would, as you know, probably from talking to other, you know, other gadget people, that's just, unfortunately, you know, everyone would like to do that. But that's really fundamentally our approach. We really want to make sure that, hey, we want to be your hub, but if you've got a favorite tool, let us know. Like, we'll put that on the list if it's not already there. Good chances it's already on the list or in the works.
I think that, you know, you also alluded to the feedback process. I mean, the entire product now is driven by user recommendations, requests, and ideas. I mean, we'd like to think that we get it right the first time, every time, and we have all the ideas. But no doubt, we're constantly getting great ideas from our users and from folks at conferences or even chats like this, where I'm like, gee, maybe we can push a little bit of that back to the clients and let them do some of the legwork on the medical records. Who knows? But always looking to improve and listening, constantly listening.
Going on with my list of personal, oh, wow, this is phenomenal items. The thing that used to cause me the greatest anxiety and make me worry the most about potentially losing my law license, frankly, was handling and tracking liens, particularly when we're talking about a government medical provider such as Medicare. Mm-hmm. And the importance of, you know, tracking the lien and doing the lien negotiations, and monitoring in that whole process, demands and offers. And again, I tracked it through another separate spreadsheet linked only to that one case. Tell me a little bit and show me how Casefear just really systematizes that entire process.
I mean, I always welcome the opportunity to talk about liens because I think this is something that, again, it does make us unique. So as we talked about health providers, of course, that's a big part of it. But then there's health insurance, there's settlement advances, there's past attorneys. I mean, there's so many people or parties, I should say, that potentially need to be paid out of a client trust. And as you alluded to, it's a massive liability to forget about one of those.
Oh, believe me, I speak from experience.
Yeah. And it, so that's one of the things that, look, of course, I mean, look, it still needs to go into CaseBeer, but we have a spot for everything. So hopefully along the way, you know, your assistant or the attorney, you're all capturing, whether it's a doctor or another attorney. It's just, they're so easy to put it someplace because it's all there. And then it all of those will feed into the settlement negotiations tab. This is where we're tracking demands and offers, but it's also where we're tracking every party that needs to be paid out of the trust at the end of the day, including the client, to make sure that you don't lose sight of everything. So not only does that include your costs and your fees, of course, don't worry, we help you track those, but it's making sure that every single facility or, you know, any insurance company that needs to be paid out is, because it is a big liability. And that's where some of that history too that Darren alluded to and we kind of talked about earlier with all of these different contacts really helps. I know every state is a little bit different on its lien negotiations process. Here in California, certainly negotiating down liens is a big deal, especially, you know, our minimum policy here is $15,000. So, you know, if you have a client that goes to the hospital and spends a night, chances are you're going to be in a position where you're negotiating with these providers or health insurance companies over who gets how much. And so CaseBeer has all the tools right kind of in those screens to facilitate that process.
To me, just being able to see it all in one big picture is worth the price of admission, because instead of little pieces and kind of pulling it together. And I mean, over the course of time, you get a feel for that as an attorney. But again, in terms of providing training and consistency across your firm and making sure that everybody in your firm does it the same way, sees the picture the same way, this is an invaluable approach.
Well, and you made a good point too, where you were saying now, I mean, at some, like you've mentioned that you were tracking doctors in a spreadsheet. Now you're tracking these liens in a spreadsheet. Right. And it's difficult, especially when you're at the point where you're potentially, you know, sharing responsibility over these cases with other people, to make sure that people are going out of their way to do that double work. That's where you see the wheels fall off the bus.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just have a very simple place to put this, and chances are, guess what? Medicare and, you know, the related subrogation company, you've already worked with them on a case. You're not even going to have to add contact information. You just need to select them from a drop-down menu to make sure that you don't forget about them. That's a big deal. And even when we're talking about Medicare specifically, it flags it right on the home tab of a case so that you know that you can put them on notice early on.
Yeah.
So you're also not unduly holding up the settlement process, which, you know, at that point, it's frustrating for the client as well as for the firm. But certainly the clients don't love when their payouts get stretched out unnecessarily.
Now, one of the things that I used to do in my case is that I thought kind of helped me understand the case and really gave me an overview of the big picture of what the case was all about, was creating a timeline, a treatment, you know, an accident timeline and a treatment timeline and recovery, all in one. And I was delighted to see that you've included that in this tool as well, that you can, as you go through and interview the client, you can capture all this information, and as they're treated, you can record their doctor's visits and look at their medical records and put all of that on a visual timeline and have literally a picture of the case.
That's certainly something that we're doing. I think Darren would probably want to say we have actually plans on making that even more visual, because I think that it could still be even better. I think there's some room for improvement there. So that's something that we're moving towards, if anything, more so than we're even doing now. But that is a really big part of it, because every case is a little bit different, but a lot of them walk through the same stages. being able to get a good sense of where this case is at and what happened when is really important.
Yeah, it's very important too. If you know, you get to the point where this case does move to litigation, or even in preparation for depositions, to have all of that in a nice graphic representation on the screen where I can scroll down and go over it with the client in order, or review it with the jury. It's very impactful, and people, I personally, I visualize the information much clearer that way than I would say in a table or a list.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're not alone in that. I definitely think that's quite common. And I loved how you mentioned sitting down with the client. I know that we have, I would say clients, by which I mean law firms, that'll actually will sit down when they have a client come into the office and they'll pull up case beer and show them, well, this is everything that we've done on your case. And the feedback we get from law firms that do that is that the clients are just so impressed, because they can really, like you said, visualize the work that's done. Sometimes it's sort of a blind spot for clients a little bit.
Yeah.
And so it is something, and they then walk away thinking, oh, my attorneys, they're all up on their technology, and they really have a handle on things. They know exactly what's going on. And those are the kind of stories that fuel us as well. We love to hear that stuff.
Well, I think it's important. I think it's important, because if you're a client and you're coming in and your attorney sits down and pulls out a gigantic, you know, 3-ring binder with a whole bunch of papers and is kind of flipping, which is what we did.
Happens,
you know, it's flipping through it.
Well, with the with the manila folders, but okay,
yeah, and then you know, compare that with being able to. Now, I would geek out over this. I would use my Apple TV and I would display it on the big monitor on the wall, and you know, we'd have a gay old time, like going over all the information in your case. Peer file, but
just walked through a law firm and they had exactly that, and they're going over through with a client, and I was like, oh my gosh, that looks really familiar. And then I'm like, I can't look because there's information up there I shouldn't be privy to. I needed a screen for the window in. But yeah, we're excited to see that in practice.
Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur.
Those are the things that excited me when I did the quick review of the product. I'm certainly missing something, probably missing a lot. What else about case Pierre, would you like our listeners to understand and know about?
I think there's so much. I always tell people, I get off an hour demo, I'm like, there's so much we didn't go over, right? But so I could go on for way too long and bore both of you to death. But the one thing that I think we didn't really touch on that's important, in addition to sort of the doctors and the lien tracking, is really the concept too of tracking the demands and offers. And the reason for that is that this is really what's going to hinge for these contingency fee firms too on fee projections, and almost gives you insight really in terms of what money's coming in the door in the next couple months. That's really hard for contingency fee firms
for sure.
To do. And so I know on several occasions now, firms have communicated to me, they've even been able to use these settlement numbers to secure loans and things like that, which, I mean, for PI firms is actually very hard to do. It certainly is not a conversation that I hear a lot of people having, but, you know, when I talk to firms, it's something that I do hear quite a lot. And so tracking settlement demands, making sure that you're getting responses within those expiration dates, tracking your offer history, and then, of course, tracking that offer all the way through to one of those offers being accepted. And then until that check is deposited, we really want to track in those stages so that nothing slips through the cracks. And that's where you have that now idea of what's coming in now, what might be coming in 2 months, versus, you know, what's still totally in the works and you can't quite put your finger on it.
Yeah, it gives you an insight into your practice that you would otherwise not be able to develop. I mean, other than kind of a basic, you know, seat of your pants kind of analysis of how many cases do we have going? What do you think the value of those cases are?
Exactly.
And we'd be having that conversation and doing it over and over again every week when we need to figure out where we are. But here you've captured it. It's there to be seen and to be utilized in a really productive way. I just think it's brilliant.
Well, thank you. Jared, was there anything else that you wanted to add, maybe kind of more from the management perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, there are a couple pieces there, but most importantly, it's sort of having something to catch as a catch-all. And, you know, we talk about accountability and ensuring that, you know, whether you're a small or bigger team, that things are getting done. So as a solo, I just want to make sure I'm probably scrambling a lot and want to make sure at the last minute everything's gotten done and making sure the statute dates are checked. On the flip side, if you have a few people working for you, you've kind of got this tasking process where you can assign tasks and see that they're done and have feedback on those tasks. And that communication, I think, really does help ensure that you're not, you know, you're going to get better sleep at night and get more done and enjoy your week and not worry about, you know, looking at that calendar.
I can hear my old boss, saying that I need to know that you are on top of your cases so I can sleep at night.
I think every business owner in PI, look, there's so much liability at play. And I'm sure that in every practice, obviously PI is what I know. But I think with personal injury, again, from a non-professional standpoint, my perspective on it is that you do have a lot of non-attorneys managing a lot of integral parts of a case, especially, again, if you're a solo and it's just you right now and you're starting your business, you know, that's wonderful. You're touching every part of your case. But the minute you hire some staff, there's a lot of the case that's managed by people who aren't attorneys. And so having the right tools in place to make sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. And in Case Bear, we have management screens tailored essentially to every stage of a PI case. Those are the differentiators that are going to give you that peace of mind, as you and Jared mentioned.
So let's just touch real quickly on the hardware software requirements for Case Peer. It's a cloud-based service or software as a service?
Yep. So we're in the cloud. We're hosted with Amazon Web Services. So there's no installation necessary. We're Mac friendly, Windows friendly, whatever you're on.
Say platform agnostic.
Yes, we do like Chrome, but after that, yeah.
Yeah, we recommend Google Chrome. I'm always amazed at how many people out there are using Internet Explorer. Yep. You know, if you're listening today and you're using Internet Explorer,
switch.
Switch, because Internet Explorer is not being supported anymore. Right. So you're opening up a door for, you know, potential viruses and things like that. So you're missing out on a whole new world of internet. So I recommend Google Chrome in general. I mean, I'm a Mac user. I get made fun of. I spend a lot of time in Safari, and I always tell people, well, one of us needs to use Safari to know, you know, make sure it's working well. So I'm that person in the office. So, I mean, it'll work on any browser. It can pull up on mobile. We also have an Apple iPhone app as well. And we have an Android one here coming out hopefully by the end of this year. But realistically, you know, if you want to get that full case, you can pull us up anywhere where you have secure internet, pull us up on your phone, your tablet, just using the internet browser.
Oh, I don't want to seem too gushing, but honestly, I think I mentioned in our pre-call that had Case Peer been around when I was doing personal injury, I may still be doing it. Because because it really, you know, based on my experience and a couple of hundred or more PI cases, it's a game changing tool. And you guys are to be congratulated. I know the danger is to try and make it everything for everybody, and you mm-hmm. want to certainly respect everybody's kind of, gee, I wish the tool had this. But mm-hmm. When I went through it, there wasn't anything I could find that I said, gee, if it only had that, I'd buy it, you know?
So, I mean, we still hear that from time to time, you know, just like every other case management software probably. But
weird bells and whistles. Yeah, we've heard some fun ones.
Right. So we're going to, you know, put the information in the show notes, but go ahead and tell our audience where they can find out more about CasePeer and how they can reach out to you if they want to follow up on anything we've discussed today.
Absolutely. Well, the best way to learn about CasePeer is to visit our website. That's www.casepeer.com. Again, you can refer to the show, but it is spelled CasePeer.com. And of course, look us up with that same, you know, CasePeer on Twitter, on Facebook. There's a lot of great ways to get a hold of us. And certainly on our website, anyone interested could request a demo.
Oh, and one more thing that I think is really, really important, mm-hmm. and I don't think enough companies do, under your resources page, your video library is fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
It's fabulous because
really
I'm way past the stage where I want to read a manual either online or in person. I want somebody to show me how to do what I need to do in my tool, and I want a video, and I want it short and sweet and to the point. And there's dozens and dozens of those in your library, and I think that's really well thought out and well done.
Thank you.
You know, the support is one of the things too. Just if we can end on that, is support is something that we're really proud of. You know, not only is our support free, it's included in the per user per month price. That includes if you need special training, you can schedule a training call or a training screen share. It includes free webinars, of course, all of our online resources as well. But that's something too that people often underestimate is the value of service to make sure that you can make the most of the software you sign up for. And that's something that's very important to us here. We really want to help firms, you know, work better. And we want to be a part of that.
Well, on that note, I'm going to say thanks for being on the show and sharing with us the insights and details of CasePeer, a client management tool, and really just a case management, practice management tool for those who are doing personal injury work. I think, as I said, I think it's a game changer. I wish you the great success. I know you will continue to enjoy it. And hopefully we'll have you back on the show to talk about it further in detail later on down the road.
Well, thank you very much for having us. We'll certainly join you again sometime, and we look forward to seeing you in ABA Tech Show. Probably it'll feel like winter no matter when we visit, but we'll see you again soon.
Probably. Okay, thanks again for being on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you.
Well, that will do it for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors for making this show possible, the good folks at Call Ruby Receptionists, Spotlight Branding, Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, and our newest sponsor, Jurisdiction, the providers of the Next Level Law Practice Program. So take a moment to visit our show notes and hop on over to their websites for special discounts and savings and other free stuff that you can get, and just support them because they make this podcast possible day in and day out. Also, if you got a couple minutes, pop on over to our own website, thelawentrepreneur.com. We have a couple little articles there. You can also listen to the podcast itself there if you choose to. And sign up for our newsletter or our mailing list. And we don't do a lot. You know, you're not going to bombard you with emails every week. And I do plan on doing a few more this year, but we'd love to have you join our community. And in that sense, you can also go on to our Facebook page. You can find us just by searching on The Law Entrepreneur. You can find out what we got going on a daily basis, sometimes hourly, on the Facebook page. So love to have you join us there. And if you have the time, last but not least, go on over to iTunes, search on The Law Entrepreneur. And if it's something that you believe in and feel strongly about, we'd love for you to leave an honest 5-star review, as well as comments about what you like and dislike about the show, because it does mean a lot to us that you are our community, our listeners, and I want to thank you for making this all possible. So we'll see you next time on The Law Entrepreneur.